Hey, Crimeaholics, it's Holly here. It's Monday again, which means we are back to bring you another episode of Missing Mondays. Missing Mondays is a segment that was created by Kinsey and I to help keep missing persons' name and information in the media the best that we can to aid in their return home. 90,000 people in the United States are missing at any given time. While some are found alive or deceased, the majority are still missing today. On this segment of Missing Mondays, I will be sharing the information about Lauren Spear. Now, this case is actually a little bit older. It happened in 2011, so some of you might be familiar with it. But nonetheless, it's still important to keep on remembering these people who went missing because it's important not only for them to be found, but for their families to have closure. Lauren Spear went missing on June 3rd, 2011. She grew up in Scarsdale, New York, and graduated high school in 2009. At the time of her disappearance, she was enrolled at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, where she was studying textiles merchandising. At the time of her disappearance, Lauren was just 20 years old and had just finished a semester at IU. Lauren was headed out for a night of partying with a group of friends to celebrate the ending of that semester. Again, Lauren was 20 years old, so some underage drinking was about to commence. Around 12:30 a.m., Lauren leaves her apartment with her friend David, and the pair walk to Jay's house, which was just a few streets over. Jay was actually a friend of Lauren's that she's had for quite some time, and she had met him like many years before at a summer camp. Everyone's purpose of meeting up at Jay's house was to begin pre-gaming before they went out to the bars. Lauren had a boyfriend at that time named Jesse, and she had been dating him for quite some time. On this night, however, Jesse did not go out with Lauren. He stayed in at his own apartment and was watching some sports or something like that. But he did say that they had been texting back and forth all night long until he turned in for the night. The following morning, Jesse begins texting Lauren, seeing how the night went, how she's feeling, and all that. When he didn't get a reply, he figured she was sleeping off the hangover and hear from her later. But as afternoon rolled around, Jesse still hadn't heard back from Lauren, so he kind of begins blowing up her phone. Finally, his phone goes off with a text from Lauren. But when he reads it, he realizes it wasn't Lauren. It was actually an employee of a bar called Kilroy's stating that this person had found the phone at the bar and that it had must have been left from the night before. Jesse begins to get concerned at this point about Lauren, so he calls up her roommate, who states that she hadn't seen Lauren all night or even that morning. But she meets up with Jesse to give him a key to the apartment, and he runs over there to check on her. Jesse assumes that, you know, he's going to find her passed out and, you know, everything will be fine. But when he walks into Lauren's apartment, she's not there. So since nobody seemed to know where Lauren was, Jesse instantly took it upon himself and he reported her missing to the Bloomington Police Department around 4:30 p.m. At that point, Jesse and some of Lauren's friends decided that they needed to notify Lauren's family and let them know what was going on. They called Lauren's sister and asked her to relay that message to their parents as well. Lauren's parents instantly began to panic and booked a flight to Indiana immediately to search for their daughter. Police began at this point to try and kind of piece together her last movements by interviewing her friends, checking surveillance footage for the bars and her apartment complex, and anything else that they could get their hands on. Police began to build this timeline of events for Lauren from surveillance because most of the people Lauren was with that night are having a hard time recalling much of anything because they were extremely intoxicated. It didn't take long for police to release a surveillance image of Lauren actually leaving her apartment complex earlier in the evening. She is seen kind of with a smile on her face and is wearing black leggings and a flowy white blouse. So search parties began to form and people were out looking everywhere, including in wooded areas as well as rivers. So police know for sure that Lauren leaves her apartment at 12:30 a.m. to head to Jay's house where she meets up with Jay, Corey, and Mike. As I said earlier, Jay she has known for quite some time, but apparently Corey and Mike were some new acquaintances of Lauren's. They all began drinking and having a good time, and they leave Jay's sometime around 1 a.m. to go to a local bar. Lauren is seen entering Kilroy's at 1:46 a.m. It was said that once inside, Corey kept buying Lauren drinks, and then they are seen going outside, like into a back area that had some sand, and she took off her shoes while they were sitting out there drinking. At around 2:27 a.m., after being at the bar for just like 40 minutes, Lauren is spotted on security footage leaving Kilroy's with Corey, forgetting her shoes and her phone inside. Corey and Lauren head towards her apartment complex, where they are picked up on security footage entering the building just minutes later. I didn't mention earlier, but this is a college town, so everything is within walking distance, so it's not odd that it only took them a few minutes to arrive at her apartment. Corey and Lauren head up to the fifth floor, which is where her apartment is. After getting off the elevator, they run into a group of guys, and some sort of argument breaks out, and Corey ends up getting punched in the face. For whatever reason, after Corey gets punched in the face, without even going into Lauren's actual apartment, the pair decide to leave. At 2:42 a.m., they are seen exiting the apartment building. The police were able to determine that from surveillance footage that they were headed in the direction of Corey's townhouse. It was reported that Lauren entered into an alleyway around 2:48 a.m., and a little while later, around 2:51 a.m., Lauren is spotted walking back out of the alley and into an empty lot, which apparently was where Lauren's purse and keys were later recovered. Eventually, though, Lauren and Corey actually do make it to his townhouse, and Corey's roommate Mike was home by this time and noticed instantly that they both were in, like, super bad shape and, like, extremely intoxicated. Mike decides to take Lauren over to Jay's house, which is literally just like 30 feet away, since he's closer friends with Lauren and knows her better. Jay reports that he takes her in, but Lauren is not done partying. She is trying to convince him to drink with her, and he's like, no, dude, like, it's 4 o'clock in the morning, like, it's time to call it a night. Jay tries to convince Lauren to just crash out and sleep on his couch and just sleep it off, but she refuses. And after hanging out at his house for a little bit, she decides around 4:30 a.m. that she was just going to leave. Jay allows her to leave despite how drunk she was, and he watched her head down the street like she was headed back towards her apartment. And that was the last time that Lauren would ever be seen again. All of the people she had been involved with that night lawyered up immediately, which this kind of put Lauren's family off. But I think they were more or less just doing the right thing to protect themselves, even though they had nothing to do with her disappearance. Jay's lawyer has said that he has given multiple statements to police. He was given polygraphs, and he consented for them to search his home, but obviously nothing has came of it. Police have speculated that Lauren possibly had ran into someone else while she was walking home from Jay's townhouse. An image was later released of this white truck that was spotted circling the area where she was last seen. And lots of tips began rolling in regards to this truck, but the most important one came in from a woman. She stated that her ex had just been released from prison just right before Lauren went missing, and he allegedly made threats to her that he was involved in Lauren's disappearance, and if she caused him any issues whatsoever, what happened to Lauren could happen to her. He was actually eventually ruled out, as well as this white truck was eventually ruled out, stating that they didn't believe that it had anything to do with her disappearance at all. In August of 2011, the Bloomington Police Department, the Indiana University Police Department, and the FBI converged in on the Sycamore Ridge landfill. This is where all of the garbage from Bloomington is taken and dumped. After searching the landfill for 9 days, each of those days spending 12 hours out there digging through tons and tons and tons of garbage, there was nothing that was discovered. After months of nothing new in the case, her family publicly came out and admitted what they never wanted to say. Her family assumed that Lauren would not be found alive. There has been many theories as what exactly happened to Lauren, and one that keeps circulating is that the people that she was with actually know more than what they are saying. When police searched Lauren's room after she disappeared, they had found just small amounts of cocaine. And there was allegation that there was other types of drug use that went on that night that she went missing. So could some sort of accident have happened that caused Lauren her life? Like, could she have hit in her head at some point and the people that were with her panicked? Or could she have overdosed from drugs? Again, the people that she was with could have panicked because, you know, they had been using drugs too. We just don't know. Jay did state that Lauren was mixing drugs that night with her alcohol, and multiple drugs at that. He said that she consumed alcohol, snorted cocaine, and crushed Klonopin pills that evening. And Lauren actually suffers from a rare heart condition, which, with the added alcohol and drug consumption, was very dangerous for Lauren. So this goes with that theory that a drug overdose is a possibility and it was hidden out of fear. However, whether it was an accident or there was foul play, someone out there somewhere knows exactly what happened to Lauren. And I just want to add that her family does not believe that Lauren had a drug problem and that she was not using drugs. So it is a possibility, but her family doesn't believe that it is. On June 3rd, 2020, her family released a statement on her official updates page. And it reads, 9 years ago, Lauren vanished into thin air. It's as if it just happened. For 9 years, we've followed every lead that has come our way. All either dead ends or lies. Not one single step closer to the truth. Most who visit this page already know Lauren's story. Do I think her disappearance was random? No, I do not. Do I think we will ever get the truth or find Lauren's remains? I do not know. Will we ever stop searching? No, we will not. Will Lauren ever be less a part of our family? No, she will not. We are all so fragile, this inner circle who knew and loved Lauren. No cure for the emptiness Lauren's disappearance has left in our hearts. So for those responsible, how lucky you have been. 9 years of dead ends for our family. 9 years of freedom for you. It will not always be that way. I hope that someday someone will have a crisis of conscience and speak the truth. If not, well, you got away with it. Or did you? In this post, they also have an address listed, and I'm assuming that it's a place where you could write in maybe some tips or anything like that. And it's Find Lauren, P.O. Box 1226, Bloomington, Indiana, zip code 47402. If you have any information, you can also phone into the Bloomington Police Department at 812-339-4471. At the end of the statement on their Facebook page, it says, hoping today is the day. We love you, Lauren, Mom, Dad, and Rebecca. Crimeaholics, that's all for now. Until next time, be aware and take care.